will manifest itself in truth and in goodness.
Local.
The challenges that we're facing in our generation, we just need the gospel. I mean, every culture, every generation just needs to know how the gospel applies.
Engaging.
We don't bring any life at all to the church. The church is the life. It still gives us the life.
Live.
The reality is, He is all things beautiful, capital B. And so anything that is authentically beautiful draws us, even if we don't realize it, to God.
Good morning. Welcome to Real Presence Live, Duluth Edition. My name is Father Richard Kunst, your host, and my co-host is
Cindy Jennings.
And we are coming to you from the beautiful Diocese of Duluth on the shores of Lake Superior. Let us start the show with a prayer in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your Spirit upon us as we approach the end of the Easter season and the feasts of the Ascension and Pentecost. We pray that you may guide our conversations and that you inspire our guests, but mostly our listeners. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Cindy, how's it going?
Good. We are surrounded in Duluth with books.
Well,
have you ever seen so many books?
Not in Duluth, but in our studio here.
Yes.
Yeah, the school's having a little book fair. So
yes.
Lots of good Catholic books, I think.
Yes,
I haven't gone through them all.
I haven't either. There's some good ones, though.
Well, good. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
how are you?
I'm good. Everything's going well. I mean, the end of the year is coming, you know, as far as like the school year, and all parish programs tend to get a little bit easier and wind down. So it's a little bit of a break time for, at least for me in this part of the diocese. It's, in other parts of the diocese, it kind of ramps up a little bit, you know, but in Duluth, things kind of slow down with the school year coming to an end.
Yeah, I noticed that the kids are actually worse this year than they've ever been about trying to get out of school. I mean, their attitudes, I'm getting emails
your kids,
from teachers.
You mean. Gotcha.
Well, it's not just mine. It's like
kids in general. Well,
yeah, they just really want out this year early.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I did too as a kid. So anyhow, we do have our first guest on the line, Bishop Daniel Felton of the Diocese of Duluth. Bishop Felton, welcome to Real Presence Live.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy to be with you.
It is great to have you. So there's a few things I want to touch base with you on. The first thing, it brought up in the prayer, the idea that we're coming towards the tail end of the Easter season. Maybe you can speak a bit about the length of the Easter season. Why is it the length it is, and what is that significance?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. You know, I think that when we celebrate Easter, the mystery that's unfolding from mystery before us and given to us in the Holy Spirit is so deep, so wide, it takes like 50 days for us to even to contemplate that and to celebrate that. Basically that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose again from the dead, and now sending his Holy Spirit upon us. So that's kind of what they call the kerygma, which is just a fancy word for that which we believe, or the proclamation of all of us as an Easter people. And so I think it's hard for us to sustain something for 50 days in our culture. You know, immediately after Easter Sunday, I mean, if we went to Hallmark, you're not going to find Easter cards for 50 days of the Easter season. Pretty much the jelly beans are gone except for the black ones. The Easter bunnies have been consumed. By the way, 16 billion jelly beans are consumed every Easter. 16 billion.
Wow.
But very few of them are left in the baskets. So what is it that kind of helps us to sustain the great joy that we find in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the anticipation of the coming of the Holy Spirit? And it's through the sacraments of the church, which are so life-giving. And so it's not by chance, as nature around us is moving from a winter time into a springtime, that we are also celebrating the baptisms that we were not able to do during Lent, and all of a sudden we're celebrating First Communions and confirmations and the sacrament of matrimony, of marriage. And here, in our own diocese, we just recently did permanent diaconate ordination. So these are all such extraordinary forms of celebration of the life of Jesus and his Spirit. So they help us to sustain ourselves, and of course, the great feast that we'll celebrate as the culmination of everything that we have embraced and embodied and expressed in the Easter season is the great Pentecost, Pente, standing for 550 days, as we celebrate then the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us as Jesus ascends to the Father. They send their Spirit upon us to sustain us then, not only for a 50-day season, but to embrace the fullness of Easter as a way of life, as a disciple of the Lord.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I mean, and I've read, I think it's in the, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the Office of Readings where, I can't remember who it was, who talked about how Lent is kind of like meant to represent our life on earth, and the Easter season, which is of a longer duration, is to remind us of our life in heaven.
Exactly, exactly. Because, as, you know, the very familiar line with John, you know, God loved us so much, he sent his son into this world that those who believe in him might have eternal life. And so basically that's what we're celebrating during an Easter season, and certainly eternal life in heaven is being proclaimed in these 50 days.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a great theological reminder of what our destiny is. And of course, one of the other big things, Bishop, that's coming up in the spring this year in a particular way is the Eucharistic revival.
Yes, so we have some things happening more locally and then on a national level as well. We're celebrating something here in the Diocese of Duluth and Crookston, something called the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress. Thousands of pilgrims are going to be coming from our own diocese here in Duluth, from Crookston, outside. We have people traveling from Canada. We have people coming from around the United States. A number of bishops are going to be with us, and we're going to gather ourselves together in Bemidji. And there just have a great celebration of who we are and whose we are as a Eucharistic people. So Bishop Barron will be speaking. Bishop Cousins is going to be speaking. Father Mike Schmitz will be speaking. I'll be doing a little bit of something on Friday night at the Holy Hour. So it's just a great opportunity to build on what we had just been talking about, because basically the Mass is the celebration of everything that we embrace during the Easter season. So every Mass, we celebrate the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Paschal mystery. So the source and summit of Easter is lived every time that we celebrate the Mass, the Eucharist, and what a great occasion this is going to be.
And, of course, the Eucharistic revival is a part of a larger thing that's happening with the whole Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. It's like part of a journey, right? The Eucharist is journeying all throughout the country, and
right.
One of the areas is in Bemidji, yeah. For us.
Yeah, so 3 years ago, the bishops of the United States inaugurated and initiated a Eucharistic revival. We've been preparing it for 3 years, which is going to result in a national Eucharistic Congress. That is going to be happening in Indianapolis, and anticipation is that there'll be 80,000 Catholics from across the country that are gathering together in Indianapolis again to celebrate whose we are as a Eucharistic people, the real presence of Jesus Christ, how that Lord lives within us, and ultimately how we are called to be disciples of the Lord. I think, you know, for the Easter season and the Feast of Pentecost, and also for the Eucharist and the Mass, that we're gathered only to be sent. So, you know, the end of the Mass is go forth, you know, go forth. And so I think part of the powerfulness of the Pentecost concluding an Easter season and of the Eucharistic Congress, it reminds us that we're called to be missionary disciples. So kind of Easter forms and shapes us as a disciple of the Lord, but prepares us for Pentecost, which is really sending us out now, not only as being a disciple of the Lord, but to disciple others in the Lord, to be missionary disciples. The Eucharistic Congress that we're holding with Crookston and with Duluth is meant to send people forth when we finish that Congress to go out and to carry that very real presence of Jesus back into the world. And the same would be true of the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. It's a gathering only to be sent as missionary disciples.
You know, I may have mentioned this before at some time, Bishop, because we talk about, in your conversations with you, the idea of missionary is such an important, and that we are missionaries is such an important theme of your ministry. And I remember I was doing CPE, clinical pastoral education, back eons ago when I was in the seminary. And I remember I got turned around, I was in Rochester, and I had to go into a parking lot of like an evangelical church to go a different direction. And I noticed on the back side of their sign, their church sign that said what time their services were at, it said now entering missionary territory. Mm-hmm. So that was the sign for the people leaving the church and leaving their services, that now they are entering missionary territory as they leave the parking lot. I just thought that was very clever, and I think it speaks to what we are and what you're speaking of as we leave Mass.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think the challenge for all of us is that we always think that that charge to be missionary disciples is about us. It has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do, can we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will draw us closer to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and in the Lord's powerful presence within our life, especially as given to us in the Holy Eucharist and Communion, Holy Communion, when we go back out into the world, we carry that Spirit and Jesus literally within us. And there are opportunities every day and every week when somebody's going to be standing in front of us who is hurting, looking for some healing, or they're filled with despair and darkness, looking for some hope, life filled with tribulations, looking for some joy. And the Spirit will bring us to that person. The person will be standing in front of us. And most of us would say, I don't know what I would say in that situation. I don't know if I could do that. Well, it has nothing to do with you. It just has everything to do with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you. And I think that's a huge kind of shift in our way of thinking about being a missionary disciple, that the Holy Spirit and the Lord that we carry within ourselves after communion, they'll do what needs to be done. We just need to be open to receiving them and then how they're going to use us for that particular moment.
I like how we just had confirmation last week, and I like how you bring that how you bring that into your homily to these kids that are just newly confirmed. It's like, well, now you guys are missionary disciples in a very particular way because of the sacrament, and hopefully that speaks to them.
Right, because we do also talk that in our baptism we all have received the Holy Eucharist as well. We were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we ask, well, then what's confirmation all about? Well, when we're baptized, the Holy Spirit is doing one thing 24/7, at least according to 1 Corinthians. It's just trying to take us to Jesus and draw us closer into a relationship with Him. As it says, nobody calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. But then there comes that moment in life when we are filled with that presence, when we are filled with that healing, hope, and joy, and have experienced that ourselves, that the Spirit says, okay, as Jesus did with His disciples, now you're ready to go out. And to go out into the world and to carry, that spirit of healing, hope, and joy back out to those who are looking for that, who are desiring that and wanting that so desperately. And so the model that we're using is very much the model given to us by Jesus as He spent that time nurturing the apostles and disciples for 3 years. But then towards the end, He said, now let's go forth. And they did. And then they came back and reported incredible things that were happening in His Spirit and in His name. That's another thing that we need to do more of within our Catholic tradition, is we should constantly be giving reports back how we are witnessing and the Holy Spirit is using us to bring others closer to Jesus.
Yeah, and I think that, the mere fact that, the vast majority of people out there in the world don't practice and don't experience Eucharist, that every one of us that do, it's not just a priest thing, it's the lay people, we are the ones that are in a unique position to be able to bring Christ as missionaries, because we are the ones that experience the Eucharist.
Right. And again, the whole element of receiving communion, actually receiving the Son of God, Jesus, into our very selves, everything that God is, ever was, or will ever be, is given to us in communion inside of us. This isn't something we're waiting for someday. It's not something we're looking for in the world. It's inside of us. And the more that we can just be drawn into that powerful presence of the Lord within us, that Spirit that the Lord is using of God's grace, the more that we can be an instrument of Jesus Christ in that Spirit and reaching out to those that are around us, inviting them to the same healing, hope, and joy that we have found in Jesus. And it doesn't have to be complex. Many times it's just by our witness. Mm-hmm. When people see us, you're filled with joy. I want that joy. You're filled with hope. Why? I want that. You seem to be healed. I want that. And that's our great opportunity. And that's when the Holy Spirit will work through each one of us in a special way.
Amen. We're talking to Bishop Daniel Felton of the Diocese of Duluth, and we'll continue this conversation after this brief break. Thanks for staying with us, and keep listening to Real Presence Radio.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Searching for more great Catholic content? Visit our website at realpresenceradio.com. Find Catholic news you can trust, information about events coming up in the local area, and the latest on what's happening at the RPR Network. And don't forget that you can listen to any of our stations around the clock from anywhere in the world. Need prayers for someone or something in your life? You can submit those through our online form for the entire family to pray for. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope. Online at realpresenceradio.com.
Have you ever worried about someone's salvation, especially one who died by suicide? I'm Father Chris Alar. Sometimes the state of their soul seems to cause us fear for their eternal fate. They die in what seems to be a hopeless state of sin and unrepentance. However, Jesus says in 1698 of the Diary of St. Faustina that what looks hopeless to us is in fact not so. He says that many times the soul, illuminated by a ray of his final grace, turns to him in the last moment to receive complete forgiveness of all sin and punishment, although we see no external signs of this. Wow! We can see why Jesus said that divine mercy is mankind's last hope of salvation. Please visit suicideandhope.com so I can personally pray for anyone you've lost and to get our book, After Suicide, There's Hope for Them and You, which helps with any kind of suffering or loss, not just suicide. I promise it will help.
What if you could earn a degree that offers the best of both worlds, an MBA and a master's degree in philosophy? The University of Mary offers one degree that combines world-class business training with a careful study of life's deepest questions through their combined MBA, MA, and philosophy program. By earning one degree in both philosophy and business online, you will rigorously engage the big ideas needed to address professional challenges. Visit CatholicProfessional.life.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Thanks for sticking with us. This is Father Richard Kuntz along with Cindy Jennings. We're talking to Bishop Daniel Felton about all things Easter, all things Eucharistic Congress. And one of the aspects of the Eucharistic Congress, certainly in a local area here in our listening area, in Duluth Diocese in particular, are the different diocesan pilgrimages and the pilgrimages that are associated with the Eucharistic revival. Bishop, maybe you can speak a little bit to that.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that. So actually, it's a combination of local and national. So for the National Eucharistic Congress, which is being held in Indianapolis, that we referred to a little bit earlier, and that's going to happen from July 17th through the 21st, and there still are opportunities for anybody that's listening to be a part of that. You just go to www.eucharisticcongress.org, and it'll give you all the information you want. But there are four pilgrimages that are coming across the United States from four different directions. And ultimately, those Eucharistic pilgrimages are going to come together in Indianapolis. And so we are just so fortunate in this area that we are actually one of the four Eucharistic pilgrimages that will take place. So as a conclusion to the Star of the North Eucharistic Congress that we're holding between Crookston and Duluth and anybody else who comes to be with us, on that Sunday, May 19th, there's going to be a kickoff mass for the Eucharistic pilgrimage, which is going to begin at Itasca State Park at the beginning in the mouth of the Mississippi. And from there, then there will be a Eucharistic pilgrimage procession that will go from Itasca State Park up in the Crookston Diocese down through the Diocese of Duluth. Ultimately, it'll make its way down into the St. Cloud, Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and it'll be then going over into Wisconsin and on its way to Indianapolis. So there's a big kickoff mass. Everybody's invited to join us for that on May 19th at Itasca State Park. And then the pilgrimage will begin. It's also going to then from that state park to St. Agnes Catholic Church in Walker. There will be a holy hour there from 3 until 4 on May 20th. Then it's going to St. Joseph Catholic Church in Grand Rapids, where there will be a presentation on the Eucharist and also Eucharistic adoration with music, a Mass at St. Joseph's the next day, ultimately coming here to Duluth. And when the Eucharist pilgrimage gets here, which is carrying the very presence of Jesus Christ, the real presence, for adoration and for pilgrimage, the Diocese of Superior is going to join us. And so now this will become an event of Crookston and Duluth and Superior. As here in the city, we have a pilgrimage and a procession. Bishop Powers will be leading a prayer service with that. I'll be doing some things with the cathedral. And all of this, four pilgrimages, are carrying that very real presence of Jesus that we find in pilgrimage and in adoration and in Eucharist, culminating at the National Eucharistic Congress that's held July 17th through the 21st in Indianapolis.
What are some of the, do you have any sense of what kind of crowds are expecting in the May 19th Itasca State Park Mass?
For the Star of the North, I think the last number was somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 people.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, so it's big, you know, and it's big for our areas. In that Crookston, we have about 42,000 Catholics. Crookston has a little bit less than ourselves. So percentage-wise, to be able to see that kind of response is quite extraordinary. And people still can be a part of that, you know. So nothing is a... people can be a part of the Congress itself, which is on May 17th and 18th, beginning on the Friday evening, the 17th. Talks and presentations, Mass, adoration on Saturday the 18th. And then on May 19th, the kickoff Mass for our Eucharistic pilgrimage in this area.
And
do we know, like, about when they would be in Duluth?
Yes. So coming here to Duluth, there will be on May 21st, there'll be an event in the evening at our cathedral, and Bishop Powers will be leading a Eucharistic adoration. And then on the next day, May 22nd, we'll have morning Mass, and then a Eucharistic procession with the Diocese of Superior. And then after here, in Duluth, then the Holy Eucharist and Real Presence of Jesus will be carried to the next site, which will be outside of our diocese.
Has the route of the Eucharistic procession in Duluth been figured out, Bishop?
Yes, it has. And so we'll be going from the cathedral down to Leif Erikson Park, and that will be the route that we will be taking, because when we get to Leif Erikson Park, we'll be able to look across the lake and see Superior on the other side. So that would be a great uniting of our two dioceses in this great year of the Eucharistic revival.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Oh, that's great. So, I mean, you'd told us priests, you've brought it up to us in the Diocese of Duluth, that you're encouraging us to, as priests, to go to the Eucharistic Congress in Bemidji, at least, that part of it, for Pentecost. And we were saying during the break that we have a good number of our guys that are actually going to it.
Yeah, we do, you know, and we had encouraged people, you know, in some places it may not be possible, but if pastors could encourage or coordinate plans with their deaneries for a more limited Mass schedule, it is Pentecost that weekend, which is even a little more challenging to do something like this, but so powerful that the Eucharistic Congress is, you know, being celebrated and kicked off on Pentecost, missionary discipleship. We go on pilgrimage right away as we're sent forth. But I certainly understand if some of the priests are not able to do that, just given that they don't have some opportunities to rearrange things to be there. But there will be certainly facets of this that will be televised, as well as just very local events in our own diocese, which the priests should be able to get to, and other folks as well.
So, you know, Bishop, we've been planning it at least as a church in the United States for this for a few years now. And it's very easy, I think, to get caught up into the details and the specifics of the events that are coming up. But in the big scheme of things, in the big picture of things, what's the goal of this Eucharistic Revival and Eucharistic Congress?
I think the goal of the Eucharistic Revival is the kerygma itself that we talked about before, that just basic banner proclamation that through the Eucharistic Revival, that especially those who are able to fully participate in the Eucharist and in the Mass, that there will be a revival of that sense, that as Jesus you know, suffered and died and rose from the dead and sent his Holy Spirit, the Paschal mystery we celebrate at every Mass, that we'll come to a deeper understanding of that, a deeper relationship with Jesus in that, so that when we do receive that communion and we're one with the Lord, in union with the Lord, communion, and we're sent forth, that it will be with a greater renewed vigor and enthusiasm, that we'll be venturing forth with a new kind of revival of missionary discipleship and going back out into the world, bring that healing, hope, and joy. Where's the source and summit of that? It's in the Mass, inviting people to come to the Mass with us. Just a revival of a relationship with Jesus, the source and summit of that relationship being in the Holy Eucharist or in the Mass.
Yeah, which is so necessary. You know, here in the Diocese of Duluth, we've been working with the Ministries Appeal, and that's a different matter. But when I talked about the Ministries Appeal in the Diocese of Duluth just a week ago, I was talking about how the Gallup polling organization has been polling since 1937 religious affiliation of the United States. And in 1937, it was 73%. And it was in the 70s all the way up till 1999. And now, 1999 was 70% religious affiliation, and now we're 46%.
Right.
So in the last 25 years, we've dipped as a society, as Americans, in regards to our religious affiliation. And as Catholics, I think we need to have that shot in the arm of what is the Eucharist and why is the Eucharist so central? And to bring it to our growing secular nation.
Our assumption in that dip that people are against, and some people are, you know, organized religion or Catholicism or whatever, but the growing number of people just have no knowledge or relationship of Jesus. We can't make that assumption anymore, that people have that fundamental understanding of who Jesus is, much less a relationship with him. So the Eucharistic revival is not pessimistic. It's so profound in the grace that is going to come from the revival locally, as we talk about our own Star of the North, Eucharistic Congress, and the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. The grace of God is going to be working so powerfully, but just to bring Jesus Christ to others, and to invite them to know something about him, and then to walk with them into a relationship with him. Profound changes are going to be taking place all over the place, and we need then to come back and give witness to where have we seen evidence of the Spirit moving and that revival of that relationship with Jesus, which is the Eucharistic revival.
I think this is amazing because I think God just really shows up when he senses something like this, and I've noticed this for a while when my kids started going to public school, is that there are so many kids who just don't know. They just have never been introduced, and so there's such an advantage to like get into missionary work right now, because I think it's going to produce so much for the church, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm glad that this is going on.
Well, it'll be very exciting, and again, it's not so much what we're going to be doing, even though there's a lot of organization has gone into this, lots of people have been a part of getting ready for this, but it really in the end is going to be so much what we do. It's going to be what we're called to be. And that simply as disciples of Jesus Christ to open our hearts to receive his Spirit so that in his Spirit that we can go out into the world to be missionary disciples.
Bishop, and maybe any just final thoughts? We have about a minute left before we have to go to our break.
Well, just again to tie everything together, you know, what we really are talking about is Easter in all of this. And so as we started off the little segment here talking about the Easter season being 50 days so that we can fully understand the mystery, that Paschal mystery before us, that Paschal mystery of Easter is embraced, embodied, and expressed in every Mass and Eucharist that we celebrate. So it's quaint. There might be some people that would challenge this, but literally every Sunday is an Easter celebration as a way of life now and not just as a season.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Bishop Felton. Thank you very much for being with us on Real Presence Radio. It's always great to talk to you and get the load on what's going on in our local church, both in Duluth and then regionally, like the Eucharistic Revival. So thank you very much for joining us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on, and I'm honored to be on today. And to everybody out there, happy Easter.
Amen. Happy Easter. Heart. God bless. Thank you, Bishop. Stay with us for the next segment. It's going to be Straight Talk. You have your opportunity to ask questions about anything theological or in the world in general.
Live, engaging, and local. This is Real Presence Live, where we bring you positive and uplifting stories and share the great things happening in our local area on the Real Presence Radio Network.
there. I'm Alicia Hillman, the owner of Beloved Pearl Catholic Boutique. When I was asked to be a godmother and couldn't find a meaningful Catholic gift for my new godson locally, a spark ignited within me. That's when the idea for Beloved Pearl was born. I am thrilled to offer our community a place to shop for quality Catholic gifts. We now have two locations, our main store at 1424 West Century Avenue and in downtown Bismarck in Mayo Pharmacy. Our shopping hours and more information about Beloved Pearl can be found on our website at belovedpearl.net.
This is Father Bo Braun from the Diocese of Duluth. It's my second year anniversary as a priest today, so I figured it's a good time to talk a little bit about priesthood and my favorite part about being a priest. You know, it's intense because you just think about where the priest stands. The priest stands, he stands in the place of Jesus Christ. He stands in between the people and God. And that place is there's an intensity of life and there's an intensity of love there. And, you know, I was thinking about I think the best times as a priest are those moments where God lets you feel that intensity. You know, so the Mass, I would say, is the highest point, obviously, because in the Mass, it's the most intense prayer from the Son to the Father, and I'm caught up in the middle of that. But yet, I give all of that love then to the people, and all through my ordinary and very little heart.
Are you thinking about making a gift to Real Presence Radio now or in the future? The easiest and best way to help further our work is with a gift of cash or a gift of stock. These two types of gifts have an immediate impact on our mission. We can begin using the resources you provide to further our mission of evangelization right away. Experience the joy of giving. Call Mike at 701-290-4503 or visit our website at rprlegacy.org. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.